we shall consider the theme of soul winning, taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And we shall consider our Lord's example, the example par excellence for our learning. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the writer of this gospel, Matthew himself, is one great sinner. As we have seen several weeks back, how he is the most notorious scumbag of Capernaum. The worst man, the worst that you can see in Capernaum, he is that man, working for the Roman government, extorting, robbing from his own people as he sits at the custom at the entrance towards that city. And how Jesus Christ came into his life and how he was gloriously saved. He was a sinner. No one would want to go near him, none of the religious leaders, because they saw that indeed this man reject God, doesn't know God, doesn't want God. But why is it that Jesus Christ came to him? Well, you see that he was a man whose heart the Lord prepared. And so you see Matthew acknowledging his lost estate. So when Jesus said to him, "Come and follow me," he immediately came and followed Jesus. What does it mean for a man like that to follow Jesus? Well, he has to cut off all ties with the Roman government. It means that there's no more subsistence for him. You know, he's not a fisherman and he cannot go out fishing. He doesn't know all these things. All he knows is to extort money from people. And so for him to turn around was, in a sense, a great miracle. But God has prepared his heart. And Jesus went specifically to reach out for these sinners. And how did Jesus accomplish this work of soul winning? We can glean from our verses three thoughts. And it's interesting, because on the 15th of August last year, when we began our prayer meeting, this was exactly the verses that was preached. The Lord called us to this place of worship. We cannot understand how this entire worship center, the Praise Chapel, right at the back, is given to us for use. And we are so thankful. And in that message, we discuss the work that God has entrusted to us. Three things. First, that this work of soul winning is a hard work, verse 35. And secondly, it is hard work, verse 36 and verse 37 to 38. It is the Holy Spirit's led work. Jesus went about, verse 35 says, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The adjective all and every is used three times to describe the scope of Jesus' work. It was comprehensive. He covered the grounds. He left no corner of the cities and the villages unevangelized. And so as you imagine the work that he was doing, you realize that it was physically demanding. And Jesus set himself to this task. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You imagine yourself in Palestine. Well, for many of us, we perhaps have not been to the Holy Land. And so you may not understand what is it all about? Speaking when Jesus writes about going to the cities, going to the villages, going to the synagogues. But if you imagine Singapore 40 years ago, when it is still not well developed, you'd be able to see there are little villages here and there, right? Pockets of houses that are built, and you would be able to understand how, you know, an evangelist, someone who wants to share the gospel, would be walking about, going from village to village, going from place to place. So a city, well, is fortified. Right? A village is just a cluster of houses. A city has fortified walls. And so our Lord Jesus went to every one of these cities then to preach the gospel one after another. And so if you were to think about the geography of the Holy Land, about 100 kilometers in length, 40-50 kilometers in width, well, you can imagine possibly the size of our island, and how if you have to walk from place to place meeting people, it is physically demanding. And he went about these places, and you know, he also went to the synagogue. What is the synagogue? Well, it is a place where the Jews would come to congregate for worship after the temple was destroyed. When they were exiled in Babylon, the synagogue system began. You need just 10 people and you can be assembled together for worship. Scriptures will be read. Scriptures will be taught to the people. And, you know, when we begin this church, it was like that. We were looking for 10 names, 10 brothers and sisters in Christ would want to be committed to a work like that. Right? And so we got the particulars and then we submit it to the government for approval. And we waited, we prayed, and about 4 months later, we received the approval from the government. And so the Jewish synagogue, a little bit like this system that we have here, the synagogue is a place of worship. And you remember just in this chapter, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, the ruler of the synagogue, from the dead. She was dead, as it were. And how our Lord, by His miraculous power, raised her up. Well, here we are speaking about something very phenomenal. You're seeing God coming in person to reach out. Just for the last few weeks in a Wednesday Bible study, we were studying the book of Genesis, and we were at Genesis chapter 10, just after the global flood. And we were discussing how after the global flood, there was just Noah and his three sons who came out of the flood. So the world that was before the flood, perhaps billions of people, and after the flood, only 8 survived. And if you think carefully, you'll realize that all of us are of the same blood. We are ancestors. Our one forefather is Adam, or Adam and Noah, right, after the flood. And through Adam and his three sons came all the nations of the world. Right? Japheth, the Europeans, and Ham, the Africans, and Shem, many Middle Eastern groups. And so, as you study Genesis chapter 10, you realize that, you know, the world started with a godly seed, with Adam, and how he fell. And then with Noah, after a global cleansing, as it were. And you know, Noah preached for more than 100 years while the ark was being built. And you know, the people were scorning him. He was saying to them that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And the people ignored. And you see, after the flood, the same situation is happening? How is it that from a spiritual stock, right, the nations of the world would evolve to such evil? How does it happen? Why is it like that? Well, you realize that this is the depravity of human nature. And here we are, our Lord Jesus, 2,000 years later, had to come personally in order to evangelize and reach out to men and women lost. And this was the amazing truth that is recorded for us in the gospel. God Himself appeared in human flesh, and look at what He did. He was preaching, and He was praying, He was healing, He was spreading the good news of the gospel. He is saying to them, giving to them the way to the kingdom of God. Such important message, because every soul that dies without knowing the way to God would perish in eternity. And those of us who have understood the truth, whom God has opened our spiritual eyes, understand the gravity of the issue that is at stake. But as you see our Lord doing this work, well, He is the Creator Himself. You know, we are made in His image, albeit that image is tarnished as a result of man's fall. And He has come, you know, to reach out to men who has lost their bearing. And so you see Jesus coming, God in person, to reach out to the people. And here it is said that He healed the sick. He taught the people. Matthew chapter 5 to 7, we saw how Jesus taught. He showed to us how to live our lives to receive God's blessing. And if you would listen carefully, you would be able to receive the wisdom how to live your life so that your life would be fragrant, beautiful, a great blessing. And so as you think about it, well, you are seeing here our Lord Himself, well, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, performing many miracles to authenticate who He is, that He is that Christ. And by His going about the villages and the cities, well, you see Him among the people. You see Him reaching out to the people. There was much physical, mental, spiritual endurance that is needed. And He sets for us that example. And if you were to take a glimpse of the work of soul winning, well, you look at Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9. This is what our Lord is doing. And He says, and one scribe, you know, look at Him and said, wow, you can perform all these good miracles. I want to be a part of your team. And what did Jesus say to him in Matthew 8:20? The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. It was a highly sacrificial work, this work that our Lord is doing. But it is also a highly rewarding work, because the souls of men and women are snatched from the clutches of hell and transported to the glory of heaven. And so the Lord wants us to have a mental picture of this work that He is embarking on and is the reason for our existence here as a church. For this same purpose, if you were to look at the constitution of our church, what is the first objective? If you were to look there, it says to win souls. That's the primary first objective in our constitution. And that's what our Lord is doing, setting for us the example. And may we not forget this important mandate that He has given to us. And so you see the string of ceaseless activities that our Lord is doing. And He's encouraging us to this great work. And I want to challenge you to take some tracks and invitation cards. Today I've specially brought many of them and placed them right at the back. And I would like to encourage you, right, to just for a start pray that the Lord may use you for 1 hour each week to take some tracks, take some of our invitation cards and give to the people in your neighborhood, in your estate. Go to the blocks, go to the houses, knock on the door or slip it under the door, place it with the people. Some of the doors are open, and give them an invitation. Tell them that indeed there is a God, Jesus Christ, who can solve their problems. And then I issue you also another challenge to ask a friend to come, to make an effort to call, to arrange transport, to bring somebody. And so just now, before we came, sister was mentioning that there are some who want to come, but are hindered as a result of transportation. And so we would be arranging and discussing how we can facilitate those who would want to come, that they may be able to find their way here. And so this was what our Lord is doing, and we want to encourage you to be a part of this work. And verse 34, just before our text in verse 35, the Pharisees were accusing our Lord. He did all these miracles. The people were saved. They were all so happy when they were healed from their diseases, their trouble, their God's peace, God's joy came into their hearts. And what did they say to Jesus? He cast out devils through the prince of the devils. In other words, Jesus' work was evil because it is energized by Satan. All that he is doing avails to nothing. He says it's of the evil one. It destroys lives. And from Matthew chapter 9, you would see more and more opposition. The work becomes more and more difficult. And the scribes said to Jesus, "This man blasphemous." And so our Lord had to endure this ridicule, this scorning. Remember, Noah too had to endure all these things. He endured for 100 years while the ark was being built. Well, our Lord is giving, doing that same work. But God Himself is doing it. Christ came in person. And how the hearts of men are so hardened. How the hearts of men just reject God. It's so sad to see these things. But you do not be surprised that as you embark upon this work, that you realize that at times the battle is so great, the opposition, the resistance is so great. But did our Lord stop? No. He continued. He went from one place to another to continue that work. And if you were to look further on in the book of Acts, persecution did come to the church in Jerusalem. And what happened? Well, they were all scattered abroad. And the Bible tells us in Acts 8 verse 4 how they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Who preached? Every member of the church, from the youngest to the oldest. Every one of them was on fire for the Lord. Every one of them understood the spiritual mandate that God has given to them, how they have received much, how God has changed them. And now, with all the blessings that God has given to them, they just realize how important it is to return thanks to God for the life that He has given to us. And we are thankful to God that He has given to us this opportunity, life and strength and health to do this work. And so may we not neglect the mandate that God has given to us. And so the first thought that is before us is that it is hard work. And how is it that we are able to continue? Well, our Lord tells us that it is undergirded by hard work. Verse 36, the hard work was undergirded with a resolve and purposeful determination in the heart to do this gospel work despite setbacks, despite trouble, despite discouragement. Jesus said, the Bible says, He saw and He moved, He was moved with compassion. It described a deep affection, a deep compassion for the suffering of the people around Him. When we have been saved, right, you realize that God will open our spiritual eyes and give us that heightened sensitivity to observe the people around us and give us that ability to see the troubles that is going on in their hearts. And as you see it, you realize the great need, the great trouble. And this was what our Lord was doing. There was a deep compassion because He saw the people suffering. He saw the pain. And there is that strong desire to relieve and to remove that suffering. And that was what our Lord did. The word there literally means, you know, to be moved with compassion. It literally means to have our entire internal organs, our body system stirred up. Right? It speaks about all your intestines, your bowels, your lungs, your heart, your liver. Well, the Jews describe this as the seat of feelings. What is inside you? Right? So what Jesus saw, the people that were in trouble, verse 36 says, He saw the multitude and He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here the Lord, or Matthew, described for us two vivid word pictures. First he says that they fainted. They become physically weary and exhausted. They give out. They lose heart. They become discouraged. And they were scattered abroad. This is the other word picture. Right? The first one tells us how they were being, the word there means flayed, having the skin torn. Right? It describes the sheep, right, that is wandering in the wilderness, how the brambles and the sharp rocks cuts and hurts the sheep. Right? Then the second word was scattered abroad. This is another word that comes from a root word, means to be thrown down, prone and helpless, meaning that someone who is exhausted, totally drained of energy, is used to describe corpses lying prostrate on the ground. So it's a description of trouble. It's a description of exhaustion, and it is a description of something that rends the heart. As you see men and women in trouble, well, our Lord was moved. And this is the heart of God that is in action. And God, who has opened our spiritual eyes when we have received the gospel, also have an understanding of this compassion, of this love. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When we receive God, when we are reconciled to Him, the love of God comes into our lives, and that we'll be able to see the troubles that are in their faces. So do you often spend time looking at the faces of the people around you, observing them, and understanding what they are going through? What is it that is going on in their lives? What is it that is going on in their hearts? What is it that is troubling them? Our Lord could see, and our Lord saw that the people were grieved. They were sorrowful. They were in trouble. And so He was moved. He was moved with compassion to reach out to them. And this is what our Lord is describing for us here, that this hard work that is before us when we set up a witness like that must be undergirded by hard work. God's love must be in us. If not, there is no way we can do this work. Imagine going for a visitation to meet someone when your life is not prepared. Well, there's no way to go for that visit. You realize that you just don't have the mood. No, you're just unable to. But the Lord has to prepare your own heart to just give you that understanding why you are there, and give you that strength to make time to go. Jonathan Goforth was a missionary to China, and his desire was to reach out to the Chinese. And he reached out during the time of the Boxer Rebellion. And you see that he, if you read of his biography, you would see how he suffered greatly. His family suffered at the hands of the Chinese. And we can trace our spiritual root to such a man, Jonathan Goforth. And he sings this chorus to encourage his heart during those difficult times. Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men. Oh, keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. It is not so easy, you know, to reach out to the unlovable. Matthew was one of them. You don't want to get near them, because their behavior would offend you to the uttermost. And so for our Lord to do this, to reach out to these people, you realize that it is indeed special. He did not go to the scribes and the Pharisees, but He went to this because He knew that these are those who would repent of their sins. These are those who would come to God. And as we think about the days that we are living in, the Bible says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Difficult to find true love in these last days. And the Lord wants us to manifest a evident token, a real token of that love in our lives, in order that we may indeed make a difference. And this is what our Lord did. It is hard work. It is hard work. And thirdly, it is Holy Spirit-led work. Thus saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's utilizing a farming imagery in order to help us to see the urgency of this work. When the farmer sows, there is a season of cultivation where he waters and he fertilizes. And then when harvest comes, you see the entire field ready to be harvested. And you see the birds coming, you see the ants coming, you see the insects fighting for the fruit. And so the harvester must be fast, right, to go and reap. So this is the white harvest field the Lord is showing to us. That indeed, right, our population now is increased. 4 million, 5 million, 6 million. Right, double the time 40, 50 years ago. And indeed, the work is even more urgent than it is previously. And if you were to read the biography of the early church in Singapore, how the people were so fired up. It described the evangelistic band, how the people would join together, come together in twos and threes and go out and share the gospel. Well, we are doing that now. And we are encouraging you to do these things. We must not just be comfortable sitting where we are, but the Lord wants us to be up and about taking action. Right? You realize that it is a really very rewarding task. As you give out the tracts, as you go and speak to people, you ask yourself, where is the benefit? Where is the profit? As you sow the seed, well, my experience is this, that when you do so faithfully, the Lord will honor what you do. You cannot proportionally see an increase just like that. But the Lord brings His blessing in many ways. How, as you sow, the Lord will prosper the work. And that is something that our Lord is doing. He went about, and in chapter 10, you would see how he would send out the first ambassadors, and he would describe to us the troubles that you would be facing when you go out there. So for the next two messages, we would be discussing when the disciple would go out and do the work. What will you face? What are the challenges that is before you? What are the dangers? What encouragements you need, what admonitions the Lord bring before us. But here, the Lord wants us to realize that we are to go out. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, calls all who are sent forth, these laborers, as ministers of Christ. It's a very interesting word. It's not the word that describes the servant slave, but it is the word that describes what we call an under roller, the one who is in, you know, the ancient ships. For them to move, they need men to row the boat, and right at the bottom of the deck you see rows of men rolling the boat. These are the people that keep the boat moving. They are the under-rollers. Right? Lowly, poor, you may say self-effacing, self-subservient, unprivileged coolie, laborer. Well, Paul uses that term to describe this work that he wants us to do. A minister of Christ. That's what Jesus did. He set for us the example. And he wants us to go about. And so the Lord says, pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers, those who are willing to do this work. There is a national rowing team competition. And there was a country, A, that was trying to prove that they were able. And it was agreed that each team would be made up of 8 members and they would have this rowing competition. And so after months of intensive training, the race began. Country B won by 1 kilometer. And the people of country A were furious with the disappointing results. And the management decided to win the race next year at any cost. And so he established a team of analysts to observe the situation and recommend an appropriate solution. And after detailed analysis, the team observed that the Team B rollers had 7 rollers and 1 captain. But the Team A had 7 captains and only 1 roller. So facing such a crucial scenario, the management showed an unexpected wisdom. They hired a consulting company to reconstruct or restructure the A team. And after many months, the consultants concluded that there were too many captains and too few rollers in the A team. And the solution was proposed based on a brilliant analysis. The structure of the team must be changed immediately. And so the structure was changed. As of today, there will be 4 captains, 2 supervisors, 1 manager, and 1 roller. And besides this, they also suggested to improve the roller's working condition and to give him higher competencies. Come next year, the Team B won by 2 kilometers. The A team immediately removed the roller from the team based on his unsatisfactory performance, and a bonus award was paid to the management for the excellent motivation they had shown during the preparation phase. And the consulting company further prepared a new analysis, which showed that the strategy was good, the motivation was satisfactory, but the tools had to be improved. And currently, the A team is designing a new boat. Well, you realize what Jesus is saying. Remember the scribe who came to him and said, "I also want this power. You know, you can do all these miracles, so good, so wonderful. Give me this power, let me do it." But he didn't. Then Jesus says that, you know, this comes at a cost, at a price. To apply this, you know, there are those of us who are counting weekly offerings. And this is an illustration that I used during an usher's workshop. And you realize that it is such a laborious task. You have to do it week after week. And if anyone will not perform his duty responsibly, you'll find that the work will not be done. If one is slack in counting, there will be inaccuracy and discrepancies. And so as you think about it, as you think about the harvest and the work that is involved, it must cause us to think, what are we doing with our lives? Right? And John Chrysostom, he says this: faithfulness is in small things, in God's work is a big thing. So Jesus urged us to pray that the Lord may send forth laborers who are willing to serve him, willing to give their strength, willing to give their time, willing to give their ability, willing to give their resources. The harvest indeed is ripe, and the work indeed is urgent. Our Lord's coming again will bring the consummation to this world. And we know that He is coming again. Jesus says that we are like in the days of Noah, meaning that Jesus can come anytime. The rain can fall anytime. And so the Lord wants us to be prepared, to be up about this work that He has entrusted to us. This witness was set up not for no reason, but for the many souls that He has prepared for His kingdom that will not be won unless we would go forth to bring that message. So may the Lord help us to prepare our lives, and may the Lord give to us the strength to do this work. The ministry, the work of soul winning, is hard work, undergirded by hard work. And it is also a Holy Spirit-led work. We cannot do it by our own strength unless the Spirit of God come and give us that ability. So may we indeed be true stewards for His kingdom. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy mercy, that we may be able to understand an inkling of the work that Thou hast entrusted for us to do. O God, we want to praise Thee for the life that Thou hast given to us and this salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the purpose that Thou hast created our lives for, how we are to be Thy witnesses. So Lord, may Thou be merciful to make each one of us a blessing, to bring many souls to Thy kingdom, according to Thy will, by Thy strength. This I ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.